Yesterday, at the beginning of our evangelistic meeting, I talked about memories and some of my memories when I was a child. And I want to tell you that when I was a child, and I see this actually in a lot of the little kids around, Mom would fix me up really nicely for what? For church, and even for school. And I'd be looking spiffy, just nice, shiny, right, Kiona? And that's how I see some of the kids here, you know, and they come into church and they're just looking shiny. But whenever you have kids, and I guess I'm preaching this because I need to get ready for this, you know, in the future, of course. But you could fix them up really nicely. But kids are what? They're kids, right? And kids are going to tend to want to run, and kids are going to tend to want to play. Well, my mom used to fix me up really nicely for school and for church. And I used to sit through church, and I used to sit there, you know, and when it's about time to go, I'd go and eat. And then afterwards, my dad would stick around for church meetings. And then I'd start saying, you know what, I'm going to go play with my friends. And so when mommy wasn't looking, just like a lot of kids here, I'd go play with my friends. And I'd probably run a little bit and get a little bit sweaty. And sometimes, don't tell anyone, I get a little bit dirty. And then that moment when you know it was time to go back home and you know your mom is looking for you. Where are you? Where are you? And you look at yourself and you realize that you are not the way she fixed you up in the beginning. And you look at yourself and you're like, oops, my hands are dirty. My tie has a little bit of food in it. I see this with the kids here. I laugh because I was there. My coat is all dirty and wrinkled. Oh, no. And so I have to go home and I come to Mom. What did you do? Isn't that what they ask? And then comes the time of judgment. Oh, man. If I have disobeyed Mom, then she is going to stretch out her hand, or at least mine did. Not a lot, but sometimes, you know, she'd, you know, kind of, I told you not to do that. Or sometimes she would stretch out her hand and say, come here, I love you. I think all of us have gone through that. And the reason I laugh is because kids are kids. And my mom used to get mad at me when I used to come back from school. She used to tell me, please don't play soccer after school. And I used to play soccer and I used to come back with my pants all ripped. And again, judgment day, judgment time. And Mom would judge me. Today we're going to talk about another person that was judged. So I want us to have a word of prayer as we start. Father, I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to your people at this moment. And as we briefly survey and contemplate on the Bible passage, I pray that you would be with us, Lord. May your spirit move. May hearts be changed to you, is my sincere prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus has just preached the sermon of his life. He just preached it from the mountaintop. He had just laid out the basis for his kingdom. And actually, I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says these words. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus had preached the greatest sermon. People are believing him. They're following him. And now this is what these are some of the last words Jesus utters as he finishes teaching on this Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. This is what it says. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. In other words, if you do what I tell you, says Jesus, if you've heard anything about what I've said in this sermon, and if you put it in practice, I will liken you to a man that builds his life on the rock. And then it happened right out of the darkness, right out of the hole. This man comes out and he's wondering. He doesn't want anybody to see him because he knows the way he looks. And he probably has covered himself and he's kind of heard about this young rabbi who says great things and speaks greatly. And he comes out. Now, I don't know. He was supposed to say unclean, unclean. The Bible doesn't say that he said unclean. But out comes this man covered in shame, in pain. And I'm glad I see Elder Ryan Johnson because I remember, and he's here, I remember his words about a month ago when he was just in pain. He didn't know what to do. He had lost all hope. And when you've lost all hope and you don't know what to do, that is when you will do about anything so that you can be healed. And this man probably, and I know that he probably did not have any hope. He was walking. He was in pain. He knew he did not look good. He was a leper. And he was walking toward Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't say how he got through the multitude, because after the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says that many people followed Jesus. But I don't know how he got to Jesus amidst the people. And this is what happened. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Right after the Sermon on the Mount. When he had come down from the mountain, great what? Great multitudes followed him. And this is talking about Jesus. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing. Lord, I have heard about you. Lord, some people have told me about you. Look, Lord, I know how I look. I don't look nice, just like that child comes to mommy. Mom, I'm sorry, I messed up. I don't look good. I put some cheese. We're eating, what is it that Adventists eat a lot? They eat haystacks. I put some cream on my shirt. I am sweaty. My hands are dirty. Mom, here I am. And behold, the leper came and worshipped him. But this is more than a mom. He is worshiping him and saying, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. By the way, what kind of a worship position did this leper take? He probably went down to his knees. And so you have this leper here on his knees. Lord, I am hurting. Lord, I am dirty. Lord, I am sick. But if you are willing, you can make me clean. And lo and behold, here comes judgment time. Because Jesus now, by the way, look at what verse 3 says. Then Jesus what? Put out his hand. Matthew did not have to say this. Matthew could have just said, and Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. But why in the world would Matthew say, Jesus put out his hand? Wow. Because it was judgment time. Judgment can come in two ways. You are a sinner and you messed up. This is why you're this way. Or like mom said, why did you not keep yourself clean? Or maybe even, don't do that again. It happens. Or judgment can come in the form of picking your child up and saying, I love you, let's go get yourself cleaned up. Ain't it? Matthew did not have to put this phrase in there. And this man was low at the lowest. Probably people were saying, get out of here, leper. Be careful, Jesus, be careful. And look at what Jesus does. Judgment time. Then Jesus put out his hand. And what? And touched him, saying. If you go to your Bibles and you search, put out his hand. Do you remember, I talked about this yesterday briefly, when the Egyptians were behind the Israelites at the Red Sea, what did Moses do? The Bible says he put out his hand. And the sea opened. And when the Egyptians were between and going after them in the middle of the dry ground of the sea, the Bible says that Moses put out his hand. And what happened? Judgment. Do you remember in Mount Moriah when Abraham had there his boy, his only boy, the one he loved, Isaac? And he was going to do exactly what the Lord was telling him. You need to sacrifice your son. And with tears in his eyes, this man was ready to do it. And the Bible says that he what? He put out his hand. Judgment. So when the Bible uses the expression to put out the hand, it's talking about an act of judgment. I want you to turn your Bibles with me. Just one text, and I know I didn't put these up on the screen because we don't have that capability, but I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 23, verse 11. And keep your fingers, please, in Matthew 8. We're going to come back. Keep your finger there. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah. Chapter 23, verse 11. And like Pastor Neary would say, children, take out your Bibles. And it's important that the children take out their Bibles. You need to know this. Isaiah chapter 23, verse 11. And this is the Lord. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord has given a commandment against who? Canaan, to destroy its strongholds. So whenever the Bible talks about stretching out the hand, it's talking about either something good or something bad happening. And this phrase here is very important because it says, and I'm coming back to the book of Matthew, then Jesus stretched out his hand, put out his hand, and touched him, saying. Now, what kind of judgment is this? I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Now, I want you to notice this. In the time of the Israelites, judgment can come by a lot of people. It came from judges, it came from households, it came from the fathers. But judgment mostly came from the kings. Remember Solomon? Judgment, when they didn't know what the baby, who the baby was, it was from one lady or the other lady. Judgment came from the kings. And look at how he came to worship. He bowed down like, if you would, a king. And Jesus said, he stretched out his hand and touched them. Here we have two important lessons. If you've come to the sanctuary tours, you know that in the sanctuary, touching somebody, whenever the penitent sinner would mess up, he would bring a lamb into the sanctuary. And what would he do when he would bring this lamb into the sanctuary? He would put his hand on the lamb. And what does that represent? That represents transfer of what? Transfer of sin. I messed up. But I believe now that this lamb is taking my sin, and this lamb is going to die for something that I did. Mea culpa, my fault is now being transferred. And so here, by Jesus doing these two things, we find out two things. Lesson number one. This man was saying, Jesus, help me. And Jesus said, I am going to do an action of judgment, an action that a king would do. And I am, by touching you, now this is going to transfer your sin. This is going to transfer your leprosy. This is going to transfer your faults. This is going to transfer your fears into me. So Jesus here acts as two things. He acts as king, and he acts as priest. Jesus acts as king because he judges, and he acts as priest. Look at this verse that Matthew puts intentionally. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And after this story, it talks that Jesus, that he healed a lot of people. And look at what it says. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, what? He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. But isn't that what the sanctuary teaches us? Don't the sanctuary has the color purple? What is purple in the Bible? It's royalty. My king. When an Israelite would bring their sacrifice, the first thing that they would see at the entrance was the colors purple, was the colors red, was the colors blue. And they would know that the king is now being sacrificed or had given his life because we have broken the what? The law. The blue is, of course, a symbol of the law. And so Jesus is saying here, I am your king, if you allow me to be your king. And I am going to do righteous judgment to you, even though you don't deserve it. I am going to touch you. And when I touch you to forgive you and cleanse you, you are going to give me what? Your infirmities, your fears, everything you are, your dirty laundry. I am going to take it. And so the sanctuary, as you see, beloved, it tells me one thing. Jesus the King, He is the King. And the King came to die red for us because He now bears our sins. Hallelujah. I don't know if there's somebody here today that has a lot of dirty laundry here right now. And I don't know how your week has been. And I don't know what your life has been like. But today, in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that if you are that leper coming and saying, Lord, if you will, can you make me clean? I can guarantee you that the judgment is going to be, yes, I am willing. He's going to stretch out his hand. And by stretching out his hand, he's going to cleanse you. He's going to forgive you. He can help you remake your life if you will today. But I just want you to know that when you do that, the Bible says that your sin transfers automatically to Jesus. And that's why He died. He died for you. He died for me. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus is not only the King who imparts righteous judgment. He is the priest. By the way, wow, there's another one. Do you know that for the sin offerings, and I'm not wanting to take Demarius' sermon for tonight, but for the sin offerings, if it was a regular person or if it was a chief, the priest had to eat some of the meat, meaning transfer of blood to the priest. That's why you have the onyx stones. You know the onyx stones on the priest's shoulders? He is carrying our sins. He's carrying us. Not only the king, not only the priest, and to finish. Now look at what Jesus says. I am willing, be cleansed immediately. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And now look at what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. What was the first thing that this man told Jesus when he came to him, bowing down and sick and dirty? What was the first thing he said, Lord, to Jesus? And Jesus had just finished saying, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man. So now Jesus says, okay, I am your king. I give you righteous judgment. I clean you. I take your sin. I am your priest. And now I want to know if you really think that I am your Lord. Are you willing to make me your Lord? And he asked something of him. He says, I don't want you to go and tell what I did for you. I want you to first go to the sanctuary. I want you to first go to the temple. Don't tell anyone what I did. I want you to first go to the temple. Beloved, this is my prayer for you. We can accept Jesus Christ as King for sure. Because whenever we need something from Him, whenever we need cleansing, whenever we need forgiveness, whenever we need a righteous judgment, we know that we can always go to Jesus to find forgiveness, to find cleansing. And we also know by the grace of God that whenever we go to Him, He takes our sins and those sins come to us. But this is the hard part of the Christian walk. If He's our King, and if He's our priest, are we also willing to make Him our Lord? Are we willing to do what He asks us to do? And Jesus said, I'm asking you not to go and say that I healed you, but I want you to first go to the temple. And now the cards were back into this man's hands. He has done righteous judgment for me. He has my sin. Am I willing to trust Him with my life? And maybe that is the card that you have in your hands right now. Are you willing to trust Jesus with your life? Are you willing to trust Jesus with your finances? Are you willing to trust Jesus with your time? By the way, the blue always means the law, and the sinner always knew that he had broken the law of God. And now Jesus counters it and says, are you now willing to keep what I say? Now, why would Jesus say this? That he had to go to the temple? If you read in Leviticus 14, you are going to see the lepers and what they had to bring. In other words, they had to bring two birds. And one of the birds needed to be slain and the other one needed to be dipped in that blood and then let go. And then he needed to bring a lamb. And then that lamb needed to be slain by the priest. All right? Because he had gone to the priest and the priest had said, okay, you are okay. And then he needed to slay the lamb and then he needed to take some of the blood of the lamb and he needed to put it on the person's head. Why do you think Jesus told this man not to go out and say it? This is a weird thing to say. I've been just cleansed. You've just cleansed me. I'm going to go out and say, Lord, Jesus has cleansed me. Jesus has cleansed me. Why would Jesus tell him, go to the temple? Very simple. Because Jesus doesn't only want to be known as the doctor in the family. Jesus doesn't want to only be known as the miracle maker. And if the man had gone out and said, Jesus has healed me, people would have just said, okay, Jesus is a healer. But Jesus told them to go to the temple because he knew that by going to the temple, this man would be thinking, okay, this is sending me to the temple. And it's talking about transferring of sin. Meaning that Jesus says that he is now not only the healer, but he is also the Savior. Could it be that the real problem was not the leprosy, but what Jesus wanted him to think about is that the real problem, which is all of our problems, by the way, this is what we should be thinking of this weekend, all right, of Easter, that Jesus is not just the healer of our infirmities, but he is the healer of our real problem, which is the problem of sin. And so today we see Jesus, who's the King, parentheses, our judge. And he's going to do a righteous judgment today if you want him to, whatever your stage in life it is. And when you say, Jesus, I want to be under your blood, and I come just like I am, I have nothing to give you, Jesus is going to say, I am willing, and your sin is going to come, and he's going to take your sin. That's what the Bible says. And then Jesus is going to say, now I want you to do something for me. I don't want you to go tell the people that I am the healer, even though I am the healer, but I want you to tell people that I am the Savior and that I have the problem. I have the solution for the sin problem. And then in the end, if I had time, I would show you the chiasm by which this text is written. But in the beginning, it says that many people followed him. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to go out into the world and say, Jesus is the Savior of the world? That's what the sanctuary talks about. And maybe you've forgotten, but Jesus wants you to tell people, he's my King. He is my priest. He is my Lord. And you know what? My King, priest, and Lord is also the Savior of the world. And he can erase your sins. He came to die. He rose again, and now he is coming back for us. Are you willing to be ready for that moment? And so, as we kick off our second day of meetings in the sanctuary, and as we're on this Easter weekend, maybe it would do us good to look at the purple, to look at the red, and the one that's most important, or the one that's hardest for us, is to do the blue, to do what the Lord asks us. And I know for sure that what he wants you to do is to go and tell your friends, Jesus can take away your sin. Maybe you need to come tonight to the meeting. We're studying the sanctuary. This is what differentiates us from everybody, every other Christian creed. Have you been to the sanctuary? Do you know what it is? Do you know what the colors stand for? Do you know why of the sanctuary? Do you know why of the altar? Do you know why the laver? Do you know about the Day of Atonement? Maybe you should come and then go and tell the world. It's my sincere prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Because today we encounter a King, and today you live forever, and we encounter a King who will give a righteous judgment just like you did the leper. Maybe here today there's somebody who is full in the world of sin, who is hurting, who has no hope. And Father, today, if this person right now is saying, Lord, cleanse me, help me, heal me, Father, from whatever infirmity I'm going through, I know, Lord, that you say, I am willing, my son, and you're going to take him up just like a mom takes up his dirty child and says, let's go get you clean. But by touching by touching. Now, Lord, you have become contaminated. You have become dirty. But we are made whole. Oh, Father, thank you for that. And now you ask us and you say, are you really wanting to trust me? Am I really your Lord? Really? Am I really your Lord? Are you willing to do what I tell you? Oh, Father, forgive me because many times I have failed there. I have failed in the blue. Forgive me. And I sense, Lord, that some of the people here are also struggling. But Father, today you ask us, are you willing to tell people that I am not only the healer, but that I have the ultimate solution to the problem of sin? Oh, Father, forgive us because many times in our world, in our life, we forget about this and we're more worried about sports, we're more worried about shows, we're more worried about money, we're more worried about other stuff, Father, when our priority should be to tell the world about our King, about our priest, and about our Lord. Oh, Father, please make this a reality. Father, please, I want this sanctuary to be full today so that the visitors come and they see, wow, these people have really encountered Jesus. And I also want to be healed, is my sincere prayer in Christ's name. Amen.